Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM at Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I got to tell you, one of my I haven't had him on the show before, but I'm really looking forward to it because he gets very excited. I'm going to have to tell you now, Jeff. And I'm going to call you probably JMO all day long. But if you start talking too fast, I might slow you down a little bit. Because you occasionally will talk a little quick, won't you?
I talk really fast sometimes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Jeffrey Morris from Fairfield Grade School, Center Street Grade School. He's the coach of the Colts. How many teams do you coach? Baseball?
Center Street right now I coach the boys' baseball team, the boys' basketball team, and the boys' track team.
Okay, you're a little busy then occasionally.
Yes.
Aren't you? And you're especially a little busy now, right?
We're really busy right now.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come out here and talk on the Bruce Dickey Show this morning. We're going to talk about the Fairfield Colts a little bit, as well as talk maybe a little Major League Baseball, because J-Mo is one of the more avid baseball fans that I know of. How in the world? I'll tell you what, let's talk a little bit about that right now.
We can cover this. I know where you're going with this right now.
You know exactly where I'm going with this right now. How in the world are you a San Francisco Giants fan? Where did this come from?
I think it was 89.
Because I know you in school. Yep. You were in eighth grade. Where did I go wrong? I taught you in junior achievement.
You must not have taught me enough, I guess. I don't know. I think it was like 89 or something. I think it was that earthquake series, and I'm watching that. And
you would have been
8 years old.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I was gonna say I didn't figure even 10 yet. Yeah,
yeah. I think that was the series, and for some reason I just became a fan and just stuck with them.
And they just got walloped in that series, didn't they? Lose 4-0.
Yeah, that was pretty sad. But
so how in the world did you become a Giants fan instead of an Oakland fan? Because they had the earthquake.
I didn't know Wheeze, but I didn't want to be like Wheeze. So that's definitely one reason.
Yeah, probably not a bad one.
Yeah.
Well, and you've been following the Giants ever since.
Yes, yes.
And you travel out there to go to games, right?
No, I do not. When they're in St. Louis, I try to make a couple of those. But, you know, I listened a lot. Kuiper on the radio, he does a good job. And then I try to watch as much on TV as possible. But they're not usually on TV a whole lot, except for during the playoffs.
Well, you know that. You don't have to. That was nice. You slipped that one in there.
Yeah.
That was a nice little passive-aggressive. Yeah. Nice, that was a shot.
Wasn't too aggressive, but
no,
a true statement.
Though. It is a true statement. You know who you've been watching a lot of lately? One of your other teams.
Yes.
Who had a great game last night.
Yes, and like we're going to talk about that. I like to spread my teams across the United States.
Yeah, how do you do that? Why did you pick Maryland?
Well, I always figured just in case I ever move somewhere, I've always got a team that's local, so...
Wherever you go.
Yeah. So
wherever you go.
I can actually tell you why I became a Maryland fan. This is kind of funny. First year playing organized basketball in fifth grade, we had Coach Jeff Baker.
Okay.
And first offense we learned was a flex offense, man offense, you know. And then we also ran a 2-2-1 press.
You remember the offense you ran as a fifth grader?
Oh, I remember it all. And practices were pretty easy under him, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Well, fifth grade.
Yeah. You know, he's –
He didn't have much conditioning going on.
No, not at all. We, you know, we showed up and kind of walked around and, you know, and just
tried to
easy.
Oh, it's fifth grade basketball.
And he's a pretty silent guy.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, so, Mr. Quiet.
Yeah, so anyway, I remember the two offenses we ran, and so I'm watching TV right after practice started, and I noticed this same pattern going on, back screen, down screen, back screen, down screen. And then I'm watching them on defense. I run a 2-2-1 press. I'm like, man, that's the same stuff we do, and – ever since then, I just kind of stuck with him. That's been my team, and that was
it. Lefty?
No, that was Gary Williams.
It was Gary Williams. Okay, so it was after
it was
lefty.
About 92, 93. They like some of the players like Joe Smith.
And yeah,
X-ray hip, which I think is one of the coolest things ever.
Yeah,
Johnny Rhodes and Keith Booth, and it was a fun team to watch.
So by the time you were in your early 20s, is when they won the tournament.
Yeah,
right?
2002. That was a fun team to watch.
Yeah, well, that's really cool. I figured it had something to do with Len Bias, but you were way too young for that, weren't you?
No, I didn't know much about him until I seen some of the documentaries on him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
Man, that guy was an athlete, though. Oh, gosh.
I take it from me. I saw him play. Man, he was just an amazing person. We're talking all kinds of things. We'll probably talk Big Ten basketball a little bit later on. Probably going to talk Cardinal baseball. Do you mind talking Cardinal baseball?
Absolutely.
We'll talk Giant baseball.
We'll talk Cardinal baseball.
I'm not going to let you talk, Cardinal. He'll say bad things about my team.
No. They got a good team. They're good every year. So I mean, there's not.
Well, I tell you what, we'll do. We'll look in the. We'll find something on the computer to talk about at Cardinal baseball.
We can do that. Let's draw out that.
Try to. That computer stuff's cost them. Okay, Fairfield Colts. How long have you been coaching the Colts?
This is my fourth year.
Took over for.
I think Justin Braddock was there prior to me.
Okay.
Yes.
And you've had a pretty nice run there. The Colts have had a pretty solid run, haven't they?
Yes. We've been fortunate enough to win three regionals in the last 4 years. So.
Were you the number one seed each of the years or just the
First year we were the one seed. Second year we didn't win. Last year we were.
It was a tie for the one seed last year, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
With Albion?
I think we won the coin flip last year. But
okay.
We were the one seed because we beat them during regular season.
Okay.
So we were the one seed last year. It was a coin flip during baseball.
Oh, I see.
This year. So.
That's the thing. You really have in. You don't pay. I don't pay nearly as much attention to grade school sports as I do to high school sports, but the rivalry between Albion Grade School and Fairfield Center Street School is really burgeoning, and it's been going for a good long time, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. First off, they're always competitive in everything they do. They always bring good teams to the table, and they're tough. They're hard-nosed kids. They're always well-coached, and, you know, it's always a battle when we get out there with them. And regionals, they've been a little banged up this year, and then, you know, We beat them pretty good a couple weeks ago, and they showed up to regionals and they gave us everything we wanted. And you know they're always ready to play, and they're a solid squad every year.
I didn't realize the NCOE had been coming up. Was this their first year in this regional setup?
Okay, well, with the change in SIJHSA this year, we had
Me about the change in SIJHSAA.
Okay, there's a conference in the Metro East called the Belle Claire.
Okay.
And I want to say nine.
So it's Belleville, St. Clair County, or something like that. Okay.
And there's 9 to 10 schools, mostly large schools. You have your West Belleville Central, which is the team we played.
Uh-huh.
Then there's one Class S school in there, and then there's a Class M school. But anyway, there's nine or ten schools, and they all joined the association this year.
So they all joined the SIJHSAA, moved over. From what was the other one? What's the other one called?
They didn't play in the association. They just played their.
They didn't play in the other one.
No, they played regular season games, and after their regular season, they played their conference tournament.
They
were done. They're always done before Christmas.
Oh wow!
Well, we kind of knew about this 2 years ago.
That they were coming.
Yes, Greg Hale, he let us know at the state track meet that this is a possibility 2 years ago. So we.
Well, it's a pretty good get for the organization.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Oh gosh, all the talent over there. I went and watched a shootout over there. In December, and
we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah,
the talent level that we'll get to the other teams that you're playing. But so you got 9 teams joined the SIJHSAA. It kind of moved everybody around a little bit, didn't it?
Yes, and North City was one of the schools that
got bumped up.
That got bumped up. Yes, they were down south. I want to say there with the Vienna and. Some of those schools, I'm maybe Gallatin County.
Gorville.
Yeah, Gorville's a little further south, but I'm not sure who they're with, but I talked to their coach prior to this, and he said that their old regional, they had beat all those schools by 25-plus.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, this year?
Yeah, and he talked to me that in December, and
he was probably bumming.
Yeah, he was shaking his head when he was telling me this because he didn't want to be in our regional.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate.
And it was already set.
Yes, and that's unfortunate because they have a really good team. I mean, North City's good. I think they're 20-5 going into that regional championship.
Is that right?
20-4, so yeah.
So they would have had a pretty pretty solid chance in the Class S.
Oh, the Class S? I mean, in Class M, they could have won a game down there pretty easily.
Oh, was that right?
Yes.
And they've run into we haven't even mentioned. Tell me about your squad. Don't give me names yet or anything like that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you're coming into the state tournament for Wednesday night on kind of a run, aren't you?
Yeah.
25-0.
25-0.
Did you look at the team before the season and think that undefeated is a possibility, or undefeated didn't really matter? We'd like to do well and have a chance to play well at the end.
Undefeated was never really a goal.
You wanted to win the conference.
Yeah, we always want to win the conference, and we want to win a regional and give ourselves a chance. We knew what we had coming back, so we knew we were going to be pretty good.
Because last year you got the third place in M, right?
Yes, we finished third in M, and we returned three starters and five players who basically played starter minutes. and then two more kids off after that. And so we knew we had a lot returning, and we knew we could make a run. So we kind of loaded the schedule up this year. So undefeated was
never. I was going to say, you had some shootout games that you don't normally play, didn't you?
Yeah. We always played at Summersville Shootout. And last year we played Effingham, which they're always solid. And this year I talked to Randy Steele, and he's the one who runs it. And I asked him if we could play T-Town.
Does T-Town normally come to that?
They're there every year.
Okay.
And matter of fact, they had never lost in that shootout until this year.
Is that right?
That's correct, yes. And, well, I knew they were good this year. Last year in their association, which is IESA, they finished first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they won their state last year. And they do seventh grade state as well in the IESA. So I knew that we want to play them, just see where we were.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we beat them by five or something.
It ended up 6 points. We stretched the lead to 10 early in the fourth quarter, but, you know, they hit a couple threes trying to play catch up. And,
yeah.
But, you know, they're solid. And we played an excellent game. We played disciplined, and just we did a lot of good things that day.
I'm talking here with Jeffrey Morris. He's the head coach of the Fairfield Colts eighth grade squad. They're traveling down to Rend Lake on Friday night. They've got their state quarterfinal down at Rend Lake. We're going to talk more about that, the other teams that are playing down there, as well as all kinds of other things. When we return on the Bruce Dickey Show, you are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Back after these.
I'm walking.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW in Fairfield, WFIW-FM 104.9 Fairfield, also online at WFIWradio.com. Plus, you can probably find recorded shows on WFIWradio.com. You head over to that column that says 411, you click on it, drops down, it says Bruce Dickey Show, click on that, and by golly, there's shows from probably about a year and a half ago, all the way back. So, yeah, if you're really a glutton for punishment, you could take a look at those, JMO. That's what folks would want to do, right?
Yeah.
All right. Talking here with Jeffrey Morris. He's the coach at Fairfield Colts, a great school, the Center Street School. They are heading to the state tournament at Rend Lake this Friday. Before we go and talk a little bit more about the state tournament and the other teams down there, tell me a little bit about Jeff Morris. I mean, you played at Fairfield, didn't you?
Yes, that's correct.
And you've got when did you who what era were you in?
I would have been in. I graduated '99. Okay. So my first few years at Fairfield High School, Jim Miller was the head coach, and Diane Zerlini was the assistant coach, and freshman coach had Brent Sutton.
What was that? Tell me a little bit. How tough was it when Jim Miller left to go to Carbondale? Because he was a good coach and very popular, wasn't he?
He was an awesome coach. Obviously, first thing was defense.
Yeah.
You know, and he had us prepared. Every game, we were so prepared.
I mean, he's still incredibly successful.
Yes, last year, I think he got inducted to the Hall of Fame.
I thought he had, and his brother was still coaching at Charleston or something like that.
So, yeah, he's still down at Carbondale doing a good job down there.
Okay, so you had Jim Miller for 3 years, and then you had your senior year.
And Coach Pearson.
Tim Pearson. I bet you have a little bit of a background in defense, don't you?
Yeah, and once again, he preached defense. If you didn't play that end, you didn't play.
Yeah. Do those coaches or are they your main influences, or who else maybe influenced you on your way you coach?
They're definitely a big part, because I think that you got to play hard. You've got to play hard to win basketball games, and you got to play defense. Sometimes shots aren't falling, and if you can play defense, that's going to keep you in ball games.
Right.
So they're a big influence, but you know. I try to watch and I try to learn from different people. You know, there's a lot of good coaches out there, and you can kind of pick their brain and kind of study some of their habits, study some of the things they do, and just use what works. And
how easy is it to impart the things that you've learned to a 12, 13-year-old mind?
Really easy.
I just was wondering. Yeah. I've never had kids. I have no idea. Is it very difficult?
Well, you said I go out there and just tell them one time, and then they've got it.
Here he goes. You know? That's great.
You tell them one time, they've got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, turn on your sarcasm meter.
Yeah.
Can be a little difficult, huh?
Oh, it can be difficult at times, but you know, for the most part, the kids are out there trying their hardest, and they want to be good, and sometimes they don't know how to. It's just... So you just got to stay consistent with them and just stay on them.
Mention your family. You've got kids and all that kind of
stuff. Yes, I have three kids. Uh-huh. Adeline, Elise, and Alexia.
Okay.
And, you know, they're 9, 9, and 8. So, actually, they made a trip over Monday night to come watch.
Oh, did they get a chance to see
you? Yeah, it was an hour and 20 minutes. So, they're excited to come. And it was kind of funny. We got done with the game, and Adeline would not let go of the trophy. And,
is that right? For the regional championship.
Yeah, so we went to Pizza Hut, and there it is, sitting on the table, and she's sitting there, and she's got her head leaned against it, and one of the parents got a really good picture of it.
Oh, is that right?
But then they're ready to leave and head home, and she kind of put the trophy under her coat like she was going to take it with her. I said, well, I guess that's better than you dropping it like Colin Massey did last year and broke it.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. I'm glad that they're able to enjoy it. Okay. Big weekend, and next week, hopefully next week, but you got to take one game at a time. Weekend on Friday night. Tell me about, is it the Pinckneyville Junior Panthers? Is that what it is?
Yes, that's who we're playing.
And they won last year,
yes,
right?
They won state last year, and the prior year, I think, they got second. And a matter of fact, the classes that are the seniors this year, they lost to them down at Rin Lake. So they're solid.
You mean the senior class here?
The senior
high
class,
school.
Yes. They won regionals 4 years ago, and they lost to that group down there. So, you know, Pinckneyville's it's a basketball community, and they're good. They're going to come out. They're going to play hard nose man to man. They're going to be up in us, and they're very handsy. They play hard full court man to man.
Have you seen them play? Where did you see them play?
We went and scouted them last Wednesday just to see, just in case.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't look past North City, but. We also want to be prepared just in case we got to play them. But
sure. How'd it work? I mean, I guess it worked out that you had a different time, a different date.
Yes, and what surprises me, most of the other regionals, they finish up.
Yeah, they were already done.
Yeah, they finish up, and why that is, I don't know. I like playing the Monday game because that gives us a game this week, so that way we don't have a big 8-day layoff where you're not playing a game. So, you know, we play Monday, get 3 solid days of practice, and then play again Friday.
I bet you that's got something to do. Folks may be scared of weather, you know, as a scheduling thing.
Yes, and with a four team, it can be done a little easier. I know Class S has a little more trouble because sometimes in Class S
you have seven or eight teams in there.
So, you know, they're having to go back-to-back nights, and a lot of times they can't finish until Monday. Actually, a lot of them actually finish on Saturday. So,
have they ever considered, or has Greg Hale ever considered splitting Class S up even further? Because there's 16 teams going to state. And we'll get back to Pinckneyville in a second. There are 16 teams going to state in Class S, and you're looking at six or seven in each regional.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Class S has 32, or pardon me, Class M has 32, Class L has 32, and you've got to figure that Class S right now you're looking at 100 or so, 96 or something like that.
There's a lot of, I mean, you got 16 regionals.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you multiply it by seven. That's
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of schools.
Even if there are only six per regional,
yeah,
you're looking at 196 teams.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's something they'll ever do. The way they have it right now, they take the biggest 32 schools are Class L. The second biggest 32 schools are M, and then they just throw everybody else in Class S.
I bet you maybe the more effective way to do it might be you keep three classes, but you expand Class L to like 48 teams and have a seeded play-in game like they have in Class S.
That's what I was thinking, maybe put five teams in each regional.
Or six teams in each regional, so you get 48
yeah.
coming into eight teams at stake.
And I don't know, that might work, but the disparity in enrollments, once you get to Class L, I mean, you have huge schools. I'm talking 2,000 kids.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you got our small schools in Class S, you know, under 100.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a great question. Would you be in the top 16 of Class S right now? Would the Center Street be?
Class L?
Would you be in, pardon me, would Center Street be in the top 16 of Class M right now?
Yes.
So, if it did... all right, I need to shut up immediately.
Yeah, we don't want
that. We don't want this now.
No. We're comfy where we are.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in the bottom 40 or the bottom 16 of Class L.
Matter of fact, before this year, until
you were Class L before, right?
No, well, that was about, I think there was about a 3 or 4 year run where Fairfield was Class L.
Yeah.
And then somehow, I think they added a few teams. And they got bumped back down to M.
Yeah.
I think they bumped up to L right after Merriam closed.
That's right.
In 2005 is whenever Fairfield won it.
Yeah.
And that's the year that Merriam closed and all those kids came in. And then that next year, I think they bumped up to Class L for about 3 years.
All right. Let's get back to Pinckneyville. What's their record? Do you know much about you've seen them play, but are they near undefeated as well? Or
no.
I guess at this point, everybody has a pretty decent record.
Their record is 17-8.
Okay.
They play in a pretty tough conference. It's got DuQuoin in it. DuQuoin's got a nice team. We played them this summer. They have Nashville in their conference, and I think that's four of their losses right there. I know Sesser beat him in overtime.
Oh, really?
And I don't know who their three losses are.
Sesser's also in the other bracket here, isn't it? The bottom bracket of yours.
Yes, that'd be a potential matchup in the second round if we're able to get past Pinckneyville. So.
Looking at the quarterfinals, there's a team there that I don't know the name of. I know the name of it, but I've never heard of Joseph Arthur.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier.
We didn't talk about it on the radio. We talked about it off the radio. Tell me about Joseph Arthur.
I'll tell them the story behind it. As I went down to Fairview to watch Belleville Central play, which was a team we added this year. So I wanted to know what we were getting ourselves into. So we went and watched them play. And
team you thought you might end up playing if you made it to state?
No, Belleville Central, we played them.
Oh, okay.
We added them to our schedule.
Okay.
And so I knew we were going to play them. But so after that game was over, I stuck around. I figured I got a little time to kill. So I watched them in the next game. It was Muscoota and his Joseph Arthur team.
You can't think of a – I know of a St. Joe, Illinois, and I know of an Arthur, Illinois, but I don't know Joseph Arthur.
Yeah, so I'm like – okay, they come out and they're big, they're athletic, and they're in warm-ups. I wasn't real impressed. I mean, you kind of watch and you're like, see what they got.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden they start playing and you're like, oh boy, man, these guys are good. So then I started thinking, the light bulb went on. I go, I wonder what class these guys are in because they're in the association.
Yeah.
So
you didn't know if they were one of the people who had just joined because you're familiar with who was in the association.
Exactly. I didn't know if they were one of them. So I immediately got on the website and got there and was like, oh, no. They're Class M. So Yeah, they're pretty good. So
so what you're telling me is there might be, if folks want to go down there and watch on Friday night and watch a good day of basketball.
Yes.
See four teams or four games that probably see some quality basketball. That they're playing in the first game, right?
Yes. Like I said, that would be a potential championship game, but if we can get there, obviously.
Yeah.
But,
oh yeah.
But we would have our hands full. They're loaded.
The Joseph Arthur is loaded.
They're loaded, yes.
What do you know much about Viant? Have you played any of the other teams in the quarterfinals? Gorville plays Joseph Arthur in the first game.
Yes.
That's at 3:30 on Friday. Viana plays Smithton at 4:45. Pinckneyville plays Fairfield at 6, and then Cecil Verlier versus Breeze. You've played Breeze, right?
Yes, we played them a couple – the game the night after the Breeze – or the Belleville game, we played Breeze over at a shootout in Breeze.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
They're solid. You'll watch them warm up, and they're not very big. But then they get out there, and those kids can play, and they can shoot.
Right?
I think they hit 5 threes in the first quarter against
wow.
us. And that's kind of what we do to teams.
Yeah.
And for to have it thrown back in our face, you're like,
okay, it's a wake-up call, huh?
Yeah, it's like, now I know how those other teams feel when we're playing them. So, but we were able to rally and come back and beat them by 11, I think.
Have you seen – you probably got a chance to see Smithton over there, didn't you?
No, I didn't see Smithton. I think they're a feeder school of Freeburg, if I'm not mistaken. We played them my first year at Fairfield down at State, and we beat them. I really don't know what they have. I know they're really solid in baseball.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they have as far as basketball goes.
What do you see as a baseball coach as well as a basketball coach? Do you see the teams at the eighth grade level? And at that point, nobody's really specializing much yet. Kids are playing baseball or playing basketball and vice versa. Do you see the good baseball teams typically have good basketball teams, or are there schools that, you know, they depend on one more than the other? Because Fairfield's got a pretty good program going in both.
For the most part, when I see teams have a good baseball team, they usually have a good basketball team. You know, athletes are athletes.
Yeah.
But there are some cases where the team's really good in baseball and then they're not very good at basketball. I don't see that as much, but
yeah.
It's usually whenever you have a group of athletes come through,
yeah.
They're good at everything.
Well, and you kind of, I presume I don't know your philosophy on it, but knowing that you're both a baseball and a basketball coach, I presume you prefer a kid at this age play all that he can play every sport possible, right?
Absolutely. I think it's too early to specialize when you're that young. You know, just there's so much you can get from playing multiple sports. Just
if you're able
just,
to play,
yeah. Just the whole thought process of doing it. It's just you learn so much, and also you're building different muscles, and you know your hand eye coordination with different sports. It all helps.
Yeah, so. I'm talking here with Jeffrey Morris, J-Mo. He's the head coach of the Fairfield Colts. The Colts are playing down at the quarterfinals at the Ren Lake state tournament, SIJHSAA. State tournament at Ren Lake this Friday. Fairfield is playing at 6:00 against Pinckneyville, and that's the game three. There'll be, I guess, one ticket to get you in all day, won't it, J-Mo?
Yes, yeah. Once you pay once, you're in there all day.
And they have pizza.
Yeah, they have pizza there. I think the boys' baseball team's the one selling it. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, and it's a great atmosphere down there.
The girls' softball team does the girls' state stuff, I think, and the boys' baseball does the boys' state.
Yeah,
you're right. It's a great atmosphere.
It's like the perfect atmosphere for a grade school tournament, and it gets loud in there. And
let's say you might bring earplugs.
Well, that and also we have to bring cards down there, too, to help, you know, if we're running plays. That way, if kids can't hear us, you know, they can at least look over
and see. Flashing cards?
Absolutely.
Are you really?
We've done it in the past.
No kidding.
Yes.
Well, that is kind of a bonus of experience and having been down there. A team like maybe Gorville or somebody who hasn't been there before may not think of such a thing.
Yeah, I know Pinckneyville's been there, so they're
Joseph
be,
Arthur. You know, they've never played in this kind of setting.
That's something I want to see. Their girls team made it and they lost, but I don't know what their program is like, and I don't know how they're going to adapt to the big court and just the atmosphere. But you know, and that's a big game changer. That big court's a game changer.
I'm going to ask you about that. I want to know what the changes you've had to make with the coaching on a big court at the Center Street. Whenever we get back, I'm talking to J-Mo, Jeffrey Morris here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield. Back after these. Yeah. Folks, welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Across the way, we got Jeffrey Morris, J-Mo. He's the coach. You don't let the kids call you Coach J-Mo, do you? Or do the kids even know that's your nickname?
Actually, all the teachers call me that. So they're aware of it.
So
but
I guess the kids know.
Now, a lot of times they just call me Coach.
Oh, that's good. So. That's good. Well, you see, that's the thing. You've been J-Mo ever since I knew you when you were in eighth grade.
Yeah. Yeah, name's kind of stuck. Matter of fact,
Where does the A come from?
My middle name's Aaron.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was Adam Book and Adam Vaughn gave me that nickname in baseball when I was, I want to say, 10 years old or something. I don't remember.
Because you were younger than them.
Yeah.
They were calling you a nickname.
We were on the same summer baseball team.
Yeah.
And you know, they called Adam Avon, and you know, it was kind of, and it just stuck. So
yeah. Well, that's cool. All right, I asked you before we left, what kind of adjustment is it to the big court down there? It's not that big an adjustment for your team, is it?
No, with the new gym, and the old gym, it would have been.
Yeah,
the new gym, we have a high school size floor, so there's a little more space. I'm wanting to say the college floor is about 8 feet longer.
Yeah,
so that's the only adjustment, but.
This isn't the first school you've taken to the Ren Lake. It can be a real adjustment for small school teams, can't it?
No, this isn't the first team. The first school I took down there would have been in 2003. I was at Jasper for 2 years, and that was whenever Jasper didn't have
Jasper
new gym.
Didn't have the new gym yet.
No, we're playing in a closet out there.
Yeah, the very small gym.
Yeah. So we actually, in preparation for that, we were able to use the high school gym a couple times of practice that week just to get used to a big floor.
Yeah.
And it's a big adjustment for if you have a grade school size floor.
I'll be darned. Let's talk a little bit about the team. You're 25-0. Pardon me. Just beat a tough Norris City team,
yes.
NCOE team, to advance to state. I think I kind of asked the question earlier. Going undefeated wasn't your goal going in. Was it a surprise?
It didn't surprise me. Because I knew this.
You knew your schedule.
I knew the schedule. I knew the team had the capability. I thought we'd slip up.
Yeah.
You know, or just, you know, they're eighth grade kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard to be consistent. And, you know, and everybody's gunning for you. So you got that X on your back. So everybody's putting their best towards you. And the kids just handled it. And they've actually embraced it. And they don't want to lose.
Are you all eighth graders or do you have any seventh graders on the squad
as well? Two seventh graders on the roster and one sixth grader.
Who are the younger kids? Then we'll talk about the eighth graders too.
My only sixth grader would be Eric Rogers.
Uh-huh.
He's a little guard for us.
Oh, sure. Eric's a good little golfer.
Eric, I didn't know he played golf.
Yeah, he's starting to golf.
Okay.
Yeah,
good for him.
His brother takes him out.
Okay. No, I didn't know he golfed, though. So our seventh graders would be McGuire Taylor. He's a move-in from Wayne City.
Uh-huh.
A little lefty, and he can shoot it.
It's a big difference when 90% of the people that these kids face are right-handed. It's a big difference when for a kid trying to defend, and all of a sudden the kid's going left on him, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of throws some kids off, and you know he's herky and jerky. He's got a lot of good moves and a lot of good ball fakes, so it's hard for kids. But in practice, once they get used to it, then they adjust.
Well, that's probably a great big help to your eighth graders, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Playing the kid in practice. What's the other seventh grader?
Amos Gregory. And I don't know if you heard about Amos. He had a bad injury down at Mount Carmel.
No, I didn't.
In the seventh grade game, he fell down, and it didn't look right. And then I was looking on the floor. And I go, Coach, I don't think that's good. And I get out there, and his kneecap is on the side of his knee.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he's in quite a bit of pain, but he's toughing it out, and ambulance came and got him, and I didn't expect to see him. I just thought, oh my, this isn't good. I was thinking ACL tear and all that stuff. And
just a dislocation?
Dislocation, and there was a small crack in his femur and his kneecap.
Oh, but he's out now.
Yes, he's out. I think he's going to be out for the remainder of school and sports. But
it's a great opportunity for him, though, to get experience at this, isn't it?
Well, he's a tough kid, and here's what was really awesome about it. In the middle of the eighth grade game, I look over, and he's coming in on his crutches.
The same day?
Yes, same night.
Oh, my
This
gosh.
Is over in Mount Carmel. Yeah, still in Mount Carmel. So he wanted to be there. He wanted to be part of the team, and he was bound and determined that he was coming back to the game. So,
oh, that's amazing.
Tough kid.
That's amazing. Tell me about your eighth graders.
Okay, first we have Noah McElravy.
Uh-huh.
Which,
is he a two-year starter?
He started some. It's a lot of these guys, it was a mix.
You kind of rotate your starters some,
absolutely.
Don't
you? We just rotate our kids. So yeah. He started some last year. He's a three-point specialist, plays guard, handles the ball really well, good on-the-ball defender.
Now, that kid might know a little bit about how to shoot, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know how, but or where, but yeah. Yeah, he can shoot a little. As a matter of fact, in that regional championship, he was 9-10 from the free throw line.
Is that right?
Yeah, so. And he's
that was the somebody was telling me that that you had some pretty efficient statistics in the regional final.
Yeah,
like 9 out of 10 from three or something.
Well,
like
they're 23 of 29 from the free throw line.
That's pretty good,
which is about 80%. So you can't ask for much better.
You'll take that,
absolutely. The next eighth grader will be Lucas Halbert.
Uh-huh.
Lucas he's a gritty little player. Yeah. I mean, he gets out there and he scraps, and you know. In practice, he gets after those kids, and you know he makes our other kids better because he works so hard every day. Yeah. The next player would be Colin Massey.
Uh-huh.
And if you've never watched Colin play, Colin plays hard.
Is that right?
Yes, he plays. He gets after it. I've never seen a kid be able to frustrate another player like he does so much in my life.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, and I guarantee you that little number one for North City is still having nightmares about him.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, he plays hard.
That's
cool. He's fun to watch, fun to coach.
Yeah.
The next player would be Caleb Wells. Caleb Wells, a long, lanky kid. He's about 6 foot, and he's such a good athlete and so quick. So I can put him on multiple people defensively.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
See, now you gotta have a defensive specialist.
Absolutely. He can play when we're playing our 1-2-2. He'll play the top of that sometime, and he's so long and so athletic. It causes a lot of problems, and I can also move down by the paint, and he's an excellent rebounder.
Yeah.
So he's an excellent role player to have.
Oh, that's wonderful.
DeMonte Nichols. DeMonte, athlete. That's
is that right?
Athlete, and he plays hard.
That's good.
Yeah.
See, now that's half the battle, isn't it?
I can say this about every one of these kids because they play hard.
Yeah.
As a group, you know, it's team.
But you've probably seen groups where kids aren't into it as much as other kids, right?
Some groups are a little tougher than others, some individuals are a little tougher to get to play hard.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they don't know what playing hard is.
Right.
It's not that they don't want to. They don't know how hard they can actually push themselves.
Right.
Blake Pruitt. He's kind of our glue guy.
You really?
He can do a little of everything. Every time I talk to a coach about him, they say he's sneaky good. He's sneaky fast. He can handle the ball. He can shoot. He's just a good defender. Just does a lot of great things.
That's wonderful.
Got two more eighth graders. Landon Zerlini. Kid can shoot it from anywhere. He can fill it up. He just has a knack for scoring, and he's very confident in his scoring ability.
He's got good playing ability genetically,
yes.
too.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He's a nice player.
Yeah, that's great.
And then our last eighth grader would be Max Puckett. And
talked to Fred last night.
Yeah, Max is a big kid. He's really starting to develop around the basket. His post moves have gotten better. He suffered a little setback in early January with his ankle, but he's starting to get back full strength. And
what do you see the future of these kids? You see anybody getting 6'5", 6'8", 6'10", 7 feet tall out of them? Or, as long as they keep developing, one of the faux pas people make, one of the mistakes people make is they think they'll see an eighth grade team that thinks, oh, this is a great eighth grade. We went to state. We ought to be able to do that at the high school level. Kids have to keep developing, don't they?
Exactly.
JMO.
With this group, I don't see a lot of kids who've matured early.
Really?
You know, and
you know, that's the thing. You've been an eighth grade coach for 15 years now.
Yes.
You've seen kids mature early, and that's how they get to state, too, sometimes.
Yeah, you'll get down to state, and you always see this. You always see that kid come out there, and he's
the kid that's shaving.
Well, he's got a mustache.
Yeah.
He probably drove the bus there,
and looks
about 32. And,
that's right.
Yeah, so there's always one or two of those down there, but we don't have that kid.
Oh,
so.
Is that right?
Now we got some potential for kids to grow. I think Max has the potential to be a big, big kid. I think Landon's going to keep growing. I mean, all of them have potential to grow, and they're going to keep getting better because they love the game. They love playing.
Is the coaching staff kind of – not just Coach McElravy, who's seen these kids for their entire lives. Is Coach Snyder and the other Fairfield coaches starting to – Coach Book licking their chops?
I think they're happy with – everything they have coming
where they
up.
Are.
Yes, because you go all the way down through their classes, even start the junior class and go all the way down.
Yeah.
They got some solid groups. That freshman class, I believe they're undefeated
right now
as well. And there's a lot of
nice
players
in there. A lot of
depth
right now in Fairfield basketball, isn't there?
And there's some nice seventh graders in the county. So, there should be some good basketball around here for the next few years, foreseeably so.
How do you – we're just have a couple minutes left on the show. What are the particulars? Did you get to ride the fire truck or anything after the regional? Do they do that anymore?
They do the fire truck. You don't get to ride on it.
To drive through town?
Yeah. We Brent Ellis was nice enough to go get the bus for us.
Uh-huh.
And so we loaded up the school bus and followed the fire truck, and then a whole bunch of cars followed behind us.
Kids must be having a ball, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Windows all the way down.
Yeah.
Kids' torsos all the way out the bus, screaming. I actually got a few pictures, and it's pretty funny.
Well, that's great. Best of luck to you next week, and both this Friday night and hopefully next week as well. Okay?
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit. Give me a prediction. I've got like 10, 15 seconds left. Is Maryland going to win the Big Ten? They're in first place.
I want to say yes, but in my heart, we've went through the easy part of the schedule.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. He played Illinois twice.
Well, yeah, that helps. but no, I still think Wisconsin's a team to beat. They're tied with them in first, and the easier part of their schedule is coming up for them.
As it started last night.
Yes, last night. Yes, that was the start of it, yes.
J-Mo, thanks very much for coming on.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good luck to you. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Have a great day.